All right. Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 165. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we got some horror to talk today. We're going to start off with what is my most anticipated film of the summer. That is it's Hereditary from first-time director Ari Aster. And without like really spoiling Hereditary, the basic idea behind it is a family starts to kind of like unravel after a tragedy, and then there's a horror element. So this movie got a lot of hype, and much like some other like recent horror films. Audience reaction did not match the critical praise.
Not at all.
Yeah, and I can't hold against the movie how critics praised it or how audiences reacted to it. All I can say is how I felt about it, really. And like, you know, all that said, I think you and I have a slight disagreement on this one. I saw your review of it. Or your, you know, reactions to it. I think you're looking at gift horse in the mouth a little bit here. I think this is a pretty solid horror movie. I think it is scary. I think it is. It's like filled with dread throughout. I think it's really well done, well acted. I do think that, you know, there's things that we could say about the ending that. I think that might be one of your bigger problems with the movie is the ending.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a bit.
Okay, all right. So, just what's your reaction?
I think I think the music is phenomenal. I think the performances are great. I think there's definitely this sense of, like you said, dread. Like there's tension all throughout.
Yeah.
I mean, it is one of the only films I've ever like kind of blurted out something while watching it. And there's a scene, and anybody that has seen it knows exactly which scene it is, but it happens slightly before halfway through the film. And I was not expecting it at all. Completely just yelled out, "Oh fuck," in the theater. So,
but not really horror.
No,
I guess you could say it's horror.
I mean it's gruesome.
It's horrific. It's horrific what happens, but yes. It's not like a horror scare that we're talking about here. But no. I had the same reaction. I think a lot of people in my audience had the same reaction.
And I think a lot of that was one, like what happens is exactly
the
that.
Shock.
It's shock, it's horrific. And that's what I think a lot of what happens in this movie is horrific. Not really sure that I feel that it definitely plays in the horror genre.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it plays there well, but it does have this kind of horrific, tension-filled vibe throughout it. I can totally see where some people are – look, like I went in and I appreciated it for, you know, for the acting and for most of its pacing – but I can definitely see where people are like, no, what the fuck was that? Because the trailers for this are super bait and switch. Like, they paint this out as something it very much is not. So,
I don't know if I'd say that. I actually think the trailer does a great job of disguising the thing that we're talking around. There's no indication in the trailer that what happens. You feel like one of the characters is going to be a central figure to this movie and maybe like the source of the evil based in the trailer. And that's not how it plays out. And so,
yeah, not at all.
I actually think that the trailer does a great job of kind of misdirecting you. And I see what you're saying a little bit, but I do think at the end of the day, this is a horror movie and it was kind of what it was advertised as. It's, you know, freaky, you know, supernatural slash family. horror thing.
I think people went in expecting the creepy kid film,
Yes.
and they got something completely different. And I mean, like the posters play up a certain character, the trailers certainly play up a certain character, and it is not that at all,
Yeah,
which is fine.
it's not a creepy kid movie. Although, very early on in the movie, I'd say that the daughter here is pretty creepy. Like, she's just weird looking. Like,
And
I don't mean to be mean, but she does
she
this
does
weird
some,
clucking noise.
yeah,
Like,
and she does weird shit. Like she chops the head off of a bird at one point, and
yeah.
like she's fucking weird.
Which makes more sense after the ending, I think. I think there's a lot, like, all right. Few things to say about this. Just first off, the audience reaction. I think that audiences want jump scares and simple, fun, like light horror, really. And this movie's not that. This movie, it's dealing with like shit that people don't like to think about. I think that's part of the reaction. I think it's also the movie's over 2 hours long, and
It's long.
it can be, I guess it can be kind of slow paced, but like the inciting incident that we're like talking about happens, I don't know, 25 minutes into the movie, I thought. Like, I don't think it was that deep.
It's almost halfway in, actually.
Really? Okay. So, yeah, like you said, it's a little over 2 hours. I think those two things combine to get the reaction that the audience has had. By the way, my girlfriend fucking hated it. And I think the other thing is too, it's like when you have critics talk about how this is like the scariest thing ever. People go in expecting like those traditional jump scares. They're not, expecting something that's designed to get under your skin, which is what this is more trying to do for the most part.
Yeah, and I want I th there's definitely some imagery later in the film that is gruesome in a way. And actually even about halfway through there's some gruesome imagery, but I don't know, like I was not affected in the same way. Like I know what you're saying, that it's a film that is trying to get under your skin. It never did for me, and I think that's a For me, that's a bigger thing because, like, everyone's like, "Oh my God, this is the scariest thing ever," and I'm like, "What?" Like, I'm honestly like perplexed by some of the people saying that. And a good friend of mine, her and her husband went, and she's like, "Oh my God, I'm having nightmares from this thing," and I'm like, "From what?" Like.
I've heard of a lot of people who had nightmares after seeing it. I forgot which one critic I was watching. He said he was having nightmares that like continued the story after the end of the movie. And like I was like, okay, I didn't have that reaction, and I'm trying to be very careful not to like overhype this thing. I think it's a really solid horror movie, and I can't. I'm not going to talk down about it just because I didn't have the reaction
Yeah,
that some
that's
critics
fine.
did. Like I think it's pretty scary. Like I think it's creepy, it's unsettling. I think it's disturbing subject matter. I think that it has a really strong sense of dread from like the very beginning, and like a really confident direction, the directing of that. Like, yeah, is it the most scariest thing ever? No. And I even recent example, I'd say the Babadook is scarier. I'd say the Babadook is also better for another reason. And that kind of goes to, like, without spoiling it, I think that, like I said, I think one of your biggest problems is the ending.
Yeah,
And
well, it's when I left the theater, I was like, I mean, it feels off. I think like it tonally from everything else. But then I've been talking with people, and there are things that are laid well out in advance, and it's like, well, that now I'm not so much like I don't mind that they go for this tonal shift, but like that. There's things even up until the incident that happens that tie into this, and it's like,
Absolutely, yeah.
no,
There's
nope, nope, nope. That's completely stupid. And like I would prefer that it just kind of dealt with Toni Collette's character and her mental illness and
Yeah.
how her family, like, because to me that's the horrific thing, is that she has this mental illness.
That's scarier
Yeah,
than the answer we get.
and it's like you don't know if she is like doing this in a supernatural way or if it's like she's
Yeah.
just fucking crazy. Like,
Yes. Well, that's why that's when I was talking about the Babadook. I thought of it because the Babadook can be read entirely as it was all in this lady's head. 90% of this movie can be read the same way. And I think if it stuck with that, I think that, maybe things would not get to go as quite as batshit crazy at the very end. But I think that you could have had a scarier, more unsettling ending and a stronger movie overall when you sit there and go, well, it could have been this or it could have been that. I like the open end of this. So that's one of the things, too, that, like, this movie goes out of its way to explain exactly what happened and why and who and what. I thought that would be one of the things that would keep the audience from turning on it. Typically, I really like these ambiguous endings where you have to like fill in the blank or you get to decide, but most audiences hate that. And this movie was very careful to like,
It
this is
spelled
the
it out.
answer. Yeah, like this is the answer. And I thought that, maybe A, that would that protect it from people, but no, people did not like it. I would have preferred that the ending where you go, was she just crazy or was something going on? That said, I got over it and I go like, well, at least we get like, I mean, there's some cool, crazy, like full on horror shit in that last 10 minutes because of the direction it decides to go. Now, and then when you discover like where it's going and what the actual answer is at the end, you can go back. Like if you go back and think about shit, it was laying all the clues for that ending, but like you said, I don't know that that necessarily. It's like, okay, great, yeah. There was, upon second viewing, you'll watch this thing and you'll see all the little things that they were doing setting it up. But I don't think that necessarily makes like the ending the right ending.
No,
I
I
think I
think
kind of
it's
agree with you on most things here. I just think that this movie is a little stronger than you're saying. I like it more. Like, I'm okay with the ending.
which is fine. I mean, I think that's perfectly. I mean, we've seen plenty and read plenty of Stephen King books, and he, like, where he just doesn't end it,
Yeah.
well. And that's kind of where I am with this. But after like making me sit there for 2 hours and then like coming up with, to me, what I kind of felt was a bullshit ending. And then, like, I left going, all right. And I actually had this scored higher in my head leaving the theater. But after, talking with other people that have seen it, and people that have very diverse range of opinions on it.
Yeah.
But one person that I follow and kind of converse with occasionally, he was very adamant that this was not a good horror film. And when he started laying out his reasonings for it, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm not with you on like burn this to the ground, because I think the performances are great. And
Yeah, I don't think we've talked enough about that too. Like, I think Toni Collette is amazing in this, and I think that she should be nominated for Best Actress for it.
yeah,
I also think her the guy who plays her son is fucking fantastic in it.
Alex Wolff is really good.
Yes.
Yeah, Gabriel Byrne, who plays her husband, is decent. Like, and Millie Shapiro, who plays Charlie, the creepy girl, she's very good too. Like,
Yes.
everybody that is like a primary character in this is very, very solid. The soundtrack is amazing. Like, it does so much to set
The
that
sound
feeling
design is
right.
fucking really fantastic too. Like they Like, if you see this in the theater, they make full use of the surround sound with the clucking and there's something else they're doing.
Like, really great sound design, really great soundtrack.
Like, there was a cluck in the middle of the movie. I think you could probably think of the one I'm talking about. It's like long after we've heard clucking for a while.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're in a car and you hear. And this guy in my fucking show, he was like, oh, hell no.
That's great.
It was working on at least one person in my audience. And I thought that the stuff they did with that, like the sound design, especially the clucking, was really, really clever. But anyways, this guy kind of convinced you, like he swayed you more towards...
Well, he pointed out some other things that, like, I didn't catch on, and I don't want to spoil it on the show, but yeah, like, there are very, like, specific things that make me think, like, the whole thing ends up being really fucking stupid. like the where it goes. Like, I think it's, like, that final 10 minutes, like, because I don't think that stuff, it's there. It's in the film. Like you said, like, you can go back and you can view it and you can see where they're setting it up. But it's up until that point, like, they could still have swerved and I think saved the end for me. And instead, like, they pile in, like, this nonsense that I was like, no, 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 no. And, like, some of the stuff that he pointed out, and I was like, yep, that's fully agree on that. That's pretty fucking dumb. But, yeah, I don't hate this film. It is kind of a watcher beware type thing, though. Like, it may very well not be what you're looking for if you're going in for a horror film. It's more of a drama for the most part with, like, very strong horror elements.
Yeah, I would say it's a straight up horror movie with a strong drama driving most of it. Like, so kind of, I'm saying, like, the inverse of what you're saying, but, like, I do think that the strongest elements in the movie are the really kind of disturbing drama that's going on. You know, there is a tragedy that happens in this movie that you can't really put yourself into the family shoes, but, like, that's kind of the amazing thing about it is, like, you're just like, holy shit, like, how would anyone deal with what happens here? Like,
yeah,
and I found that to be
near impossible to think.
Yeah, like, after the incident that we're talking around, the way the son reacts, way he just kind of goes home, as I found, like, I'll be thinking about that well after any of the scares in here. So, but, like, all that said, like, that's why I'm like, you know, for us to be getting horror films of this caliber where there is, like, a strong drama and an incredible acting and this and that, like, that's why I can't sit here and be like, hey, it was just okay. I'm like grateful that we're getting stuff like this. I do think also, you know, all these things said, I think it's way more accessible than The Witch or It Comes at Night, two other recent examples of these divisive, you know, horror films with, you know, kind of like higher pedigrees. You know, I think both of those movies, which I also liked, they're not, like, I feel like this delivers the goods more than those. Like, this has more DNA of what people would want out of a horror movie. I just feel like people are not equipped. Like people don't go into a horror movie expecting them to be kind of fun. And, like, this is not fun. It's, like,
this is
real dire.
That's Hollywood's fault for the way they've handled horror for the last 25 years. So,
but, you know, again, I'm sitting here talking to someone who is a big horror fan who's going, it was just all right. Like,
yeah, well, I mean,
you have issues with it. I guess.
And then there's things that I can't say without spoiling it. So, I can see why it's divisive, and I'm not on the side of, like, no, this movie's horrible, like, you know, the D minus or whatever it got from CinemaScore. But I'm also not on the, like, oh my god, like, that was fucking amazing kind of gravy train either, so.
See, I was more kind of in the middle. I think you and I went separate paths after seeing the movie. So, yeah. Like, after I saw it, I was like, man, I think the critics, like, overhyped it a little bit. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, honestly, dude, I can't blame critics for loving it, because the more I think about it, the more I like it, and the more I appreciate all it's bringing to the table. So, like, I'm like one step removed from these critics that are praising it to the high heavens. I think it is one of the better movies of the year. I think if you are a horror fan, this is must see, whether you'll like it or not. You know what I mean? Like, this is an event horror film to go see. So whether you like it or hate it, you know, you deserve to see it and get, you know, your own take on it. But yeah, I'm leaning towards pretty high. I'm giving it 4 stars just because I don't want to oversell it. But I think that this is really something special, and it will be in my top 10 at the end of the year. So, what do you say?
I am going to go with a 3. I had it higher on my leg, as I said. You're very right. We definitely did go different kind of ways with this after seeing it and thinking about it and talking with other people about it. And yeah, I'm going to go with a 3. And I don't think it'll end up on my top 10. Things would have to go really wrong, I think, for it to end up there. But it is worth seeing, I think, just to kind of like be part of that horror conversation.
Yeah, if you're a horror person, if you're just a regular movie lover, I think there's reasons to see this as well. Though I think that, like I said, I think that Toni Collette and Alex Wolff, especially, are turning in some really great work here.
Yeah,
I also just think this is very confidently directed, like sound design, imagery, all that. Like, I don't know, this is kind of a grade A movie for me, and I'm just holding back a little bit on the score and all that. Even though I'm giving it a 4, I already could see, like, this is going to be one of those like classic horror movies, I think, but we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah,
so I'm giving it a 4. Chris is giving it a 3. We're both saying it's worth checking out, though, just that you might not like it. But that's how it goes with any of these, like, especially, like, you know, like, challenging horror. You know, you might like it, you might not, you know.
Yeah.
Also new in theaters, you went to see, I did not see, but Ocean's 8, right?
Yes, Ocean's 8, which is a... the sequel to Ocean's 13. Like, I guess it's kind of a reboot of the Ocean's heist movies, the ones with George Clooney and the Brad Pitt and Matt Damon, and like that super star cast that, you know, they kind of had. This takes place in that. Sandra Bullock's character is Danny Ocean's sister, Debbie Ocean. And it starts out with her getting out of jail, and her brother has died. We think she visits his grave site, but she was in jail at the time. And she actually makes mention of, like, well, I hope you're in there. Like, so they've left it open for him to return at some point. And they do bring in other characters from those Ocean's movies. But what this is a full-on female crew heist movie. Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett at the head. And some fun performances from Helena Bonham Carter, Rihanna, Sarah Paulson, Mindy Kaling. Like, this is kind of an all-star female cast, and it's a fun movie. Like, it's not going to blow you away, but if you like a good fun heist movie, this is it. It has the vibe of those, you know, the Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12 wasn't very good, but Ocean's 13, like those movies, they set out to rob the Met Gala of this $150 million necklace that is on a celebrity's neck. And the way they go about doing it, the way they set it up. That's one thing I love about the Ocean's movies is that they spend the time setting up the heist. Like,
yeah.
And showing you how they set it up and kind of taking you through like the prep work for it. So when you actually get there and like you see things working perfectly or sometimes not so perfectly and they have to improvise, it ends up being quite fun. So it's a fun movie.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's weird because I never really got into those Ocean's movies. Like, I think it's kind of a blind spot for me. I think I might have seen one of them or part of one. I did like Logan Lucky. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like one of those. It's like the hillbilly version of that.
Yeah, because Steven Soderbergh did a Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. And then he kind of retired for a little bit. When he came back, he did Logan's Lucky, which is basically hillbilly
Ocean. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is not done by Soderbergh. It's directed by Gary Ross, who, what has he done? Not a ton. Like he did, the first Hunger Games movie and Seabiscuit.
Okay.
A very diverse, different, set up there, but he gets the feel of what those movies are, and it was a fun, you know, hour and 50 minutes or whatever it was. So
cool.
I don't know if you need to rush out to see it in the theater, but it's definitely like, you know, if you have like a Saturday night and you know, it's out on DVD or Blu-ray, or you want to rent it on demand or something, I would hit it up that way.
I just added it to my Netflix, so there you go. The only other, I think, really noteworthy thing, you know, I've seen other shit, but like the only other really noteworthy movie I've seen. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get a score from you.
I'm gonna go 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, moving along. The only other, like I said, the only other kind of noteworthy movie I saw, it was a movie called You Were Never Really Here. Have you heard of this movie, Chris?
I have. I don't.
You might have seen the trailer. It's Joaquin Phoenix with a fucking hammer.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is, it's written and directed by Lynn Ramsey, who she did one of my favorite films of the decade, We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Okay.
And this is her follow-up to that. And this is like a thriller kind of about this guy who gets things done, who gets hired to like rescue this girl who's been kidnapped by like, you know, who knows, like a sexual predator or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie asks like the question, what if we made one of these thriller movies like that with this badass character, but what if it was boring? And I don't know what went wrong with this. Like, everything about it screamed, I'm going to love this. Like, just watching the trailer looked awesome. Like I said, she made one of my favorite movies of the decade. Critic reaction was really high. Look at here, it said it received a 7-minute standing ovation at Cannes when it premiered. Yeah, I don't know, man. This movie was, if you remember, We Need to Talk About Kevin, like the first 5 to 10 minutes of that movie is kind of like really almost kind of trippy and confusing. And that's how this entire 90-minute movie feels. It feels like you're always at arm's length from what's going on because everything has to be weird and fucking artsy fartsy instead of just like telling the story. And it's not like a movie like this that, you know, some might call art house is like Drive. I fucking love Drive. I think Drive delivers. I think that this is like a way worse version of that. It's weird. It's 90 minutes and it has a very plot, like basic plot about a guy has to go fucking, you know, rescue this girl and fuck some shit up. And somehow, every step of the way, she like decides to like, okay, but what if we go against what people expect for this type of scene and do it different? And it's like, you do that, but you never stop to ask, did you do it well? You know, sometimes, right, you know, things are a certain way in thriller films because that's the way things work. And like, you know, other people have spent time thinking about how to do this effectively and thrillingly. And instead here, like, there's a part where he goes in and he's going and fucking shit up. And instead of, like, it being visceral or exciting in any way, we see all the action from security cameras. Like, all of the action. It's just like, okay, well, that made that scene really boring, you know? It's silent and black and white. I can barely see what's going on, and it's far away. And, oh, I see him swinging a hammer. Great. So it's like this big scene that should be like a big payoff is just fucking flat. And that's kind of how I felt about the whole movie. Like I said, it's only 90 minutes long. It felt longer. It felt a full 2 hours, if not more.
That's not good.
Joaquin Phoenix, I love the guy. I don't know. I'm perplexed by why she did everything she did the way she did here, and I'm just really surprised by how much it didn't work for me and how kind of boring I thought it was. So I'm going to give it 2 stars, and I'm going to say maybe you'll like it more than me, but like if there was ever someone that was supposed to like this movie, it was me, and I didn't care for it. You know, this is the pretentious art house shit that some people are claiming, you know, Hereditary is. I don't think Hereditary is that. This definitely is that. It's like, it's not delivering you any of the thrills that you want out of like this type of movie. And yeah, just everything felt kind of flat to me. I'm kind of alone on this, I guess. I don't have the Rotten Tomatoes pulled up here, but I know it was a pretty big hit with critics.
Yeah, the Metacritic score is like an 84, so that's pretty high.
Yeah, and a lot of, you know, you have a lot of critics saying it's one of the best movies of the year. Audience score isn't that far behind, 69%. So maybe I'm the outlier here, but I'm giving it 2 stars. I stand by what I said. I think the movie kind of fucking sucked. Chris, you see anything else this week?
I did. Two things actually, but all right, so very quickly, I saw a film called Cargo, which is directed by Ben Howling and Yolanda Romke. It is on Netflix. It's a Netflix original film, I guess. Stars Martin Freeman. It is a zombie movie in Australia. It's not your typical. Well, it's kind of your typical zombie movie, like.
I mean, I saw the trailer for it, and I had no idea it was a zombie movie until watching the trailer. So
yeah, so the trailer is just kind of like him moving across, like he's out wandering and like walking, and you're not really sure what's going on. This starts off, you know, very quickly. You realize something's wrong. Like he's on a boat and with his wife and his daughter, and. They see like this family having a picnic of some sort, and like he like tries to wave to them, and the father of that family like pulls out a gun and like to like I'm gonna protect. So he's like, oh shit, like whatever. So you know shit's weird, and there's indications that there may be some sort of epidemic going on, but you very quickly find out it is a zombie epidemic. Where people are bit or scratched by these things, and they're not the living dead necessarily, but they, you know, turn into kind of carnivorous people, and like they just want to eat flesh.
Uh-huh.
So it takes about 48 hours to incubate, and his wife ends up getting bit, and she dies, and he ends up getting scratched or bit. And so the whole film is him trying to find some place to bring his, you know, infant daughter, and to save her. and him fighting off this disease. And if you've ever seen a, you know, if you've ever seen like The Walking Dead or anything like that, where it's, you know, that the real threat isn't the creatures that are, you know, walking around trying to eat you, it's humanity and
Yeah,
what they
20
turn into.
later.
So you see like his interactions with some people, and some of them are tragic and horrifying, and you know, others are like heartening, and he kind of he's just trying to protect his daughter, but he realizes that he's going to need more help than just him. Like, he can't do it on his own. He's going to need help, and he opens up his persona to take help in, and it's very captivating performance from Martin Freeman. I really liked it. Thought it was very solid. Yeah, if you are looking for like a scary horror, like zombie horror film, this isn't it. Like, it's kind of a it's more of like a slow burn, you know, thriller that just happens to have flesh-eating creatures in it. But I think it's very solid. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm gonna go 4 on that one,
Nice.
but I'm gonna go completely the opposite way with this
Yeah.
other movie I saw. I think I've mentioned it on here. We've talked about it over the years. I am a fan of Eli Roth. I'm not really sure why.
The tide's starting to turn on that a little bit.
like this guy is, whoo. So he directed a remake of Death Wish starring Bruce Willis. That alone kind of sounds perfect. Like,
On paper, sounds like it's gonna
right,
be
like
fun.
you get Bruce Willis, who is, you know, for the last 30 plus years, he's kind of been one of the big action stars. Death Wish is, it's not really an action movie, but it's like this revenge, fantasy thriller type thing that happens, like where, you know, his family gets hurt, and he decides to, because the police can't do things, he's going to take the law into his own hands and get vengeance. Wow, like everybody in this movie is fucking terrible. Bruce Willis is like, they could have got a like a cardboard cutout of him, and just because he is so wooden in this, there's zero emotion. Like Vincent D'Onofrio plays his brother. He might be the best person in it. Like, nothing about this works. Nothing. Like, the action isn't good. It tries to have like political commentary that doesn't necessarily work. Like, they intersperse, like after he starts, you know, doing his avenging angel type shtick. This takes place in Chicago too, Jeff. Which I feel like the film is like maybe borderline racist. Like,
Well, that, I mean, that was a criticism of old Death Wish movies, is that they were racist. So I'm
yeah.
like, how do you do that today and not make it feel racist? And from what everything I'm hearing is like, he just went with it.
Yeah, like, so like when he's decided he wants to be this avenging angel and like save innocence, he goes into like what I assume, like, it shows he lives out in like the suburbs of Chicago, and he goes into the city, and you see the city deteriorate. So it's like he's going into like the low income sections of the city, specifically like an area where black people would live. And like his first hit is like he sees a carjacking, and he like attacks them. And so like there's these people on the radio that are commenting on him, and like, what, like this white dude's like running around gunning down black people. Like, I mean, they're bad people, but still, like, what makes
Well,
that hold up?
that's the whole, I mean, that's, you know, what people were saying
Of the
about the
original,
original.
yeah, it's
But
like a.
it's also, it's like the same, it's like the stupid argument we got into with Donald Trump a couple of weeks ago, where it was like, No, he wasn't saying that people are animals. He was saying gang members are. But he was also saying that Mexicans are gang members and gang members. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
It doesn't make it better to say, oh, but those were the bad people. It's like, yeah, but that's what you, that's your depiction of what these people are. Like, you know, black people exist in I'm just, you know, I haven't seen the movie yet. But I'm saying, you know, the criticism could be said they exist in this film as criminals. Like, there's no, like
basically, yeah. It's like, because, I mean, and ultimately the people that committed the crime against his family, like, they were not black people, but it was just such a weird thing. And like, he does a hit in broad daylight on somebody called the Ice Cream Man. And
is that like the part in the trailer where he like walks up to these dudes that are just like sitting out front?
Yes.
And he, like,
yeah.
Pulls out a, like, I'll admit, I thought that was like a cool part in the trailer. But again, I haven't seen the movie itself, so I don't know.
Yeah, like that's exactly like the scene that's in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I mean, and so on top of that, it also feels like a message, like a love letter to the NRA.
It was really, you know, great timing on that.
Because it paints this picture of, so if you're going to commit a crime, you get a gun that's unregistered and maybe somebody else's. So like, you steal a gun. But if you want to commit like a legal murder, you got to go to the gun store and file the paperwork. And that's actually a plot point. Like, it's legitimately a plot point for the end of this movie, is he goes and he buys a bunch of weaponry to outfit his home with. And like, the final shootout takes place at home. And they question, like, oh, well, like, do you have the paperwork for this? Yes, you can go to this gun store and like, you talk to this person and I have all the paperwork. And it's like, but all his other crimes, the ones that he was as the avenging angel, he did with a gun that he pulled off of a criminal in his hospital. Like, the whole thing is fucking absurd. And it's kind of disgusting. Like, I hated every second of it. Like, there was nothing good about it. If I hadn't seen Deep Blue Sea 2 earlier this year, which is just like a disaster piece of filmmaking, because this is technically well shot and
yeah,
it's well lighted. Like, it's technically a well made film. Just nothing about it is good. This would be the worst film I've seen all year. It's a one.
Okay. Well, I might see that by next week, just so, you know, so I'll be able to share my thoughts on it. It's near the top of my Netflix queue, so you know, at least my expectations have been properly calibrated for that. Maybe I'll enjoy it more knowing that.
Yeah, it's yeah, possible. Maybe like, I've like set you up to be like, it's not as bad.
I've seen the Rotten Tomatoes on it too. I know it's like in the teens, and I don't think the audience score is much better. So, I also kind of want to look that up, but yeah, it's too bad, and it's too bad about Eli Roth. Like, I'm kind of in the same boat as you with him, where it's like, you know, I'm a horror fan, and so he came out as this like horror talent. Oh my god, the audience score was way higher on Death Wish. That explains a lot. So 18% from critics, 77% from the audience. Wow. You know, then again, Donald Trump is our president, so
yeah.
What can I tell you? but I don't know. I'll be interested to see what I think of it, because I still, despite your warnings, kind of curious about it. But yeah, and I was always saying about Eli Roth, like, I actually really liked Hostel and Hostel 2, and I liked Cabin Fever, but it's like, you know, all of that is well over a decade ago now, so
yeah.
And like, what is he doing lately? Like, this, it kind of made sense. It's like, oh, it's a genre movie, like, you know, he could probably do it and add some gore to it, but like, Is there at least that? Is there gore in it? Like,
there are some pretty brutal
yeah.
sequences. That there's one scene, and this is also in the trailer, but not like the ending of it. If you saw the trailer, there's a sign where he's like, it's like, are you gonna kill me now? He's like, I'm not, but
Yeah,
Jack
yeah.
is. And he like
Yeah,
you
yeah,
see him
yeah.
pull, he pulls like a chain because it's connected to a jack on
Yeah.
a car. That's a pretty brutal kill.
Okay.
And it's like, all right, like I can, the guy still knows how to like film a death scene. Like, I'll give him that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just like, what the hell, like that, the cannibal one, they got delayed so much, ended up being just okay.
The Green Inferno, yeah, it
Yes.
was okay.
Yeah, he did that one Keanu Reeves one, which I thought was just not great. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I hope, he's still a young guy. He could, who knows?
He seems to have a legitimate horror film coming out later this year, September or October. So I'm hoping that maybe that one might be something, but we'll see. I haven't seen trailers for it yet, so.
I guess one final thing before we go. Speaking of horror movies later this year, Chris, did you see the Halloween trailer that finally released?
I did.
What'd you think?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched for it. I don't know what else to really say about it other than, I mean, I had read a lot about what the trailer was before I saw it, so like I kind of knew like things like I think I had told you about the teeth scene or whatever, So like I kind of wish I didn't spoil it so much for myself. But yeah, it got me pretty excited. Lots of little fan service-y things, like there's a part in the trailer where he's just like walking down the street and he bumps into a little kid and it does that like bwee! Like music cue that is like it's straight out of the original Halloween. Like so many callbacks to the original Halloween. It's not in the trailer, but there's a clip out there of like Jamie Lee Curtis like walking through the woods and she's singing what she sings in the original Halloween, like I wish I had you all alone. It's like, and they like put it in a new context here where she's like training to kill Michael Myers and she's like just the two of us. I'm like, I'm just like sitting there watching it. I'm like, I would for all the worries I had about this movie, I'm like, I feel like Danny Bride is a legit fan of this series and he fucking cares at the very least. Like, however it turns out, you could tell that they are really making an effort to go back to the original and like what made the original great. So it's like the original, like, plus fucking Linda Hamilton from The Terminator. Like, it's just like the mashup that I'm feeling here. Cause like Jamie Lee Curtis has been fucking training since that night, like waiting for this motherfucker to get out.
Yeah, there's I think there's a great scene in the trailer, like where it's a cop or somebody like and she's like, well, why would you want him out so I can kill him?
Yeah, it's a great part, and then it like shows her like shooting guns and shit, like getting ready, like. But yeah, just the level of detail, like one shot you'll see. You see her arm. There's like a scar on her arm from where she got cut in the original. Like I guess even if you look at the mask closely enough, you could see where she stuck the sewing needle through it in the original. Like that's how much they got those little details right. So hopefully the actual movie itself kicks ass because like everything I've seen, everything I've heard has just got me more excited. And this is like if you want a crowd pleaser horror movie, this is probably gonna be it. So. I just and you'll never get a fully neutral reaction from me when it comes to that series. I'm not gonna be a good source, but we're gonna be rewatching all of them heading into it, even though you don't need to for this one since it ignores all the sequels. But
It'll be a fun rewatch.
I can't wait. Like I'm like chomping at the bit to go rewatch these movies. So that'll be coming up. I think we'll start that in September. But
Sounds good.
anyways, yeah, I'm fucking psyched. For next week, I will have possibly Death Wish. I will have a film called Thoroughbreds. starring the lovely Anya Taylor-Joy, as well as Anton Yelchin in his last film role.
Okay.
We'll have Red Sparrow, starring the lovely Jennifer Lawrence.
Be interested to hear what you say about
Have
that.
you seen it?
I have not yet.
Okay. So those are a couple things I might have. I don't know that any movies are coming out, but if they do, I'll see them. Oh, there is something big coming out, and I
Yeah,
might see it.
I will have seen The Incredibles 2 by next week, so.
I really want to see it. I feel like I should rewatch the first one, though, because I don't remember it. But I doubt that'll matter. I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll see. Me and the girlfriend tend to go see every Pixar movie, so maybe we'll have that for next week. We'll have
All
plenty of stuff. And one final note, coming soon, we will have our best of the year so far show. Sometime near the end of June, we'll do that.
right.
All right, so come back next week. We'll have more stuff.
Movie
All right.
dudes.
Dudes. Do 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 do.